Well, this morning, of course, in light of the historic celebration annually of Easter, which follows the first Sunday after the full moon of the spring equinox, which would be today, April 5th. The relation of Easter to the first Sunday after the full moon of this spring equinox that the whole world seems to celebrate, Easter, is because that's when the Jewish Passover was observed. The Jewish Passover was observed in the first month of Nisan on that full moon. On that full moon day, historically, that was on a Friday, historically, a couple of millennia ago. The best Friday ever. Someone said that we just celebrated Good Friday. I said, no, that was the best Friday ever. The best Friday. And the resurrection of Jesus the Nazarene occurred on the Sunday following that Friday. Easter is based on history. It's not really based on tradition. It's based on history. Historically, believers in Jesus Christ have celebrated the resurrection Sunday annually for 2,026 years, you could say. The reason the New Testament church met on Sundays was in commemoration of the Lord's resurrection on a Sunday. At first, they started meeting every day, so overwhelmed with the resurrection. And then they said, well, we can't do that. Let's just meet on Sundays in commemoration of his resurrection. So every Sunday was in light of Christ's resurrection for the believers in Jesus Christ. This morning, I would like to take the privileged opportunity to revisit some key components of the resurrection of Jesus the Nazarene. And I'd like to emphasize their importance and their vital significance of why this Sunday should be celebrated as it has been for 2,026 years. Secular tradition has removed itself from the historical significance and have fostered a celebration around the fertility goddesses of the Greek mythology, and they don't even know it, represented by rabbits and eggs, which are pictures of fertility. And to smooth that over to win future generations by giving children candy on this Sunday. If you're a Christian and you want to give chocolate rabbits and hunt for Easter eggs, that's fine. But if you're a Christian, you should not do that in exclusion to the real historical significance of the resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth. And to help you celebrate it as it is meant to be celebrated, I want to emphasize some key components of that resurrection. There's many components in this is not point number one, Paul, but the first key component concerning the resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth is in regards to biblical Christianity. Let me just start there. It's recorded in the Gospel according to Mark chapter 16. I'd like to read that for you for our text this morning. And when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the first day of the week, they came to the tomb where the sun had risen, when the sun had risen. And they were saying to one another, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, although it was extremely large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting at the right, wearing a white robe, and they were amazed. And he said to them, do not be amazed. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who has been crucified. He has risen. He's not here. Behold, here is the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he said to you. And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had gripped them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid, and rightfully so, after seeing an angel and the angel talking to them, the tomb being empty. There are four Gospels that all record the resurrection Sunday as historical fact. What I'd like to do is to point out that what is obvious from this text is a reference given to Jesus as he is called by the angel, Jesus the Nazarene. Jesus the Nazarene. Jesus was a real historical person. A real historical person who lived in Israel 2,026 years ago, who was known to have been from Nazareth. Jesus' name originally would not have been Jesus Christ, Christ meaning Messiah. He would have been known as Jesus Bar Joseph, Jesus son of Joseph. That's what he would have been known by. Or he'd been known Jesus from Nazareth, or Jesus the Nazarene. Jesus was a common name in the Jewish ancient world. But the Jesus that had risen that we're reading about is known as Jesus the Nazarene. A specific title, a specific reference. That Jesus from Nazareth. A real historical person from a real historical place, Nazareth. This is not myth. This is not a fictitious story or elaboration or a novel. This is true history. So just to hang your thoughts around a couple of things, I'd like to point out, point number one would be that the resurrection of Jesus the Nazarene is a key component to historical biblical Christianity. The resurrection of Jesus the Nazarene is a key component to historical biblical Christianity. Without the resurrection, let me just say, there will be no Christianity. There will be no Christianity. Many people have died, but no one has risen from the dead by his own power, the resurrection power, and who also proclaimed himself to be God incarnate. No one has done that. But Jesus the Nazarene did. Historical biblical Christianity is true because the resurrection of Jesus the Nazarene is historically true. He's a real person who historically lived. Let me just add that resurrection implies to bodily resurrection. To bodily resurrection. We're talking about a bodily resurrection based upon a bodily death. A real body that you could touch and hold. Notice Mark 16:6 again. And the angel said to them, "Do not be amazed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazarene, who has been crucified." He's been crucified. A real person from Nazareth who had been killed, been crucified, executed on a cross. A real person. This real person, the angel says, he has risen from death bodily. He's not here. Look where his body was. His body's not here. We're talking about a bodily resurrection from a real person that existed. The resurrection we celebrate is in relation to Jesus' human body, his incarnate deity, his body. But a real person, historically with a real body that had been crucified, and he has risen. Historically, that makes biblical Christianity true. Historically, just based on history, based on historical fact, not myth, fictitious legend, or fable. If Christ did not rise from the dead, then historical biblical Christianity is not true. It's that simple. If he did not rise from the dead, then biblical historical Christianity is not true. But it is true because Jesus was a real historical person that is recorded that he lived, was crucified, and has risen from the dead. Outside the Bible, there are first century historians who wrote about the historical Jesus. Just to set the record straight, Flavius Josephus In 37 to 100 AD, a Jewish historian who wrote a book called The Antiquities of the Jews, 934 to 940 AD, referencing Jesus twice in that book. This is outside the Bible. One passage, the Testonium of Flanium, mentions Jesus as a wise teacher who was crucified under Pilate and followed by many. This is outside the Bible in the book, this historian, Jewish historian. He also writes the execution of James, a shorter, widely accepted reference to the death of James, whose Josephus identifies as the brother of Jesus, who is called Christ. This is outside the Bible. Or Tacitus, a Roman senator and historian who wrote Annals. He describes Christ as the founder of the Christian sect, who was executed by Pontius Pilate during the reign of Tiberius. There's another Roman governor, Pliny the Younger, who wrote to Emperor Trajan around 112 AD. He mentions that Christians meet regularly and sang hymns to Christ as God, as a God, confirming the rapid spread of Christianity. But this is outside the Bible. And one more, Maribar Sarapan, a Syrian Stoic philosopher, who wrote a letter from prison comparing the execution of the wise king of the Jews, Jesus, to the death of Socrates and Pythagoras. So Jesus is recorded in history outside the Bible by Jewish historians, Roman historians, senators, governors, philosophers. These historians record a real historical Jesus who was crucified under Pontius Pilate. So you see, the resurrection of Jesus, the Nazarene, is a key component to historical biblical Christianity. Another key component, point number two, concerning the resurrection of Jesus, the Nazarene, is in regards to the biblical gospel. It's in regards to the biblical gospel. Those who read about Christ's resurrection in the gospel narratives, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all record their gospels, and in them gospel narratives, there is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Matthew 28, John 20, Mark 16, I just read to you, Luke 28, or Luke 24, sorry. The gospels were written, as the Apostle John puts it in his gospel, John 20, 31, but these have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, deity, and that believing you may have life in his name. That's why the gospels were written. They're good news so that you become a believer that Jesus, who this historical Jesus, is exactly who he said he is. In John, this is written right after the resurrection account in John chapter 20. In John chapter 20, you have the resurrection account, and then John says, well, Jesus did a lot of other things, and this one's been written to let you know that you can believe that he is the Messiah, deity, and you can have eternal life in his name. The resurrection is a key component to the biblical gospel. It is the key component, you might say. Because without the resurrection, you don't have a biblical gospel. You can tell people about the cross. You can tell people about sin. You can tell the people that Jesus died on the cross for their sin. But if you end there, they have not heard the gospel. And therefore, they cannot be saved. Without the resurrection, you do not have a complete gospel. And the gospel is the power of God and salvation. So people need to hear the whole gospel. A gospel presentation without the resurrection is not the gospel. It's not the gospel. Notice again there in Mark 16, 6 and 7, it says, and he said to them, do not be amazed, you are looking for Jesus of Nazarene, who has been crucified. That's part of the gospel. But it doesn't stop there. He has risen, and he's not here. That's the rest of the gospel. That's the complete gospel. The angel said there in verse 7, but go tell his disciples and Peter, he's going before you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he said to you. Go tell his disciples. Go tell them what? They had just left They have just, angel just talked to them and said, Jesus who has been crucified, the Nazarene, he's not here. He's risen. Go see, his body's gone. Go tell his disciples. He went up. So what are they to tell him? Jesus who got crucified on Friday, guess what? He's risen from the dead. And he's going to Galilee. That's how much he's risen. I don't know if he's flying, transporting, he's walking, but he's going ahead of you into Galilee. And you'll see him there. The risen Lord. Now, that would be good news. That would be good news. It was sad that he was the Messiah who died on the cross, and that's sad. It's great that he died for our sins, but when he rose from the dead, that's really good news. That's really good news. Jesus the Nazarene, who has been crucified, he has risen. That's the complete gospel. That is the complete gospel. Listen to 1 Corinthians 15, as Paul puts it, the beginning of chapter 15, 1 Corinthians 15. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Doesn't end there, though. The next verse says, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. That's the gospel. That's the complete gospel. The gospel Paul preached, which is to be received, by which we are saved. One, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Two, that he was buried. Three, and that he rose, was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. That's the gospel. A gospel believed in and prayed about without the resurrection does not result in true salvation. Does not result in true salvation. That's how key a component the resurrection is to the gospel. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a key component to biblical gospel that must be proclaimed for salvation. It must, the gospel must include the resurrection. Listen to Romans 10:9. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, God incarnate, and believe in your heart, what? That God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Verse 10, for with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. What must a person believe to be saved? He must believe Jesus is Lord. That means he is God incarnate and that he's been raised from the dead. If you want to be saved, if you want to be saved. The resurrection of Jesus the Nazarene is a key component to the true, complete biblical gospel. Without it, you do not have a gospel to believe in your heart. What do you? You don't have a gospel to believe in your heart. You must believe in your heart that God had raised him from the dead. That means he's alive. That means he's coming back. True biblical historical Christianity is based on the resurrection of Jesus the Nazarene, and true biblical complete gospel is based upon the resurrection of Jesus the Nazarene. Listen to Peter's preaching in Acts chapter 2. This is what he says, verse 27, or verse 22 through 24. Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know. This man, Jesus the Nazarene, delivered up by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. But he doesn't stop there. And God raised him up, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in his power. Peter gave him the whole gospel, didn't he? He gave him the whole gospel. He kept on preaching, and the Bible says they were pricked in their hearts and said, what must we do to be saved? Because they heard the real gospel. Another key component, point number three, moving along, concerning the resurrection of Jesus of Nazarene, is in regards to the sinner's salvation, which is an obvious flow of thought, is in regards to the sinner's salvation. Historically, Jesus of Nazarene lived and was crucified. He died for our sins. He was buried in a tomb. He was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures. That is the true, complete, biblical gospel. Tell them I'm busy right now. That must be believed in and confessed. That must be believed in and confessed from the heart to the mouth for salvation. That Jesus is Lord, God incarnate. He was the Son of God, made flesh, who was crucified, buried, and risen on the third day. And that for the sinner's salvation. For the sinner's salvation. Listen to Romans 4:24. But for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Verse 25. Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised for our justification. There is no salvation for sinners without the resurrection of Jesus the Nazarene. According to that verse, there is no justification because he was raised for our justification. If there's no resurrection, there's no justification. If Jesus of Nazareth simply was crucified with no bodily resurrection, then there is no guarantee that he can raise us up from the dead and give us eternal life. And without eternal life, there is no salvation for sinners. Without eternal life, you just die and you don't have eternal life. Then you're just condemnation. There's no such thing as annihilation. There's no salvation. The resurrection is pivotal for the salvation of sinners. The salvation of sinners depends on the resurrection of Jesus of Nazarene. Without the resurrection, there is no justification for sinners, for believing sinners in Jesus Christ. Without the resurrection, our faith is vain, and we are still in our sins. Without the resurrection, our faith is vain. We're believing in it, and we're still in our sins. We still got to count for our sins before a holy God. Isn't that what 1 Corinthians 15, verse 13 says? The question is raised, Paul anticipates. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, well, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain. Your faith is also vain. No sense in me preaching. There's no resurrection. In verse 17, he continues, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Without the resurrection, there is no salvation for sinners. None. No true, complete gospel. Therefore, no true, historical, biblical Christianity to believe. Do you see the vital importance and significance of the resurrection of Jesus of Nazarene? But this is why we meet on Sundays. This is why we meet on Sundays in commemoration of our Lord's resurrection. This is why we celebrate this date annually. The Lord said himself in John 11, 25 and 26, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. What? In verse 26, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Listen, either this guy was a liar, a lunatic, or he's exactly who he said he is. He's the Lord. Can you make that kind of promise? That is a promise the Lord himself has made to sinners who believe in him. And they will experience a bodily resurrection unto eternal life, is what he's saying. Which leads me, obviously, to my last point, point number four. Emphasizing and concerning the resurrection of Jesus of Nazarene. The last key component of the resurrection is in regards to fulfilled prophecy. Is in regards to fulfilled prophecy, which Jesus just made, obviously. Without the resurrection, Jesus could not even make such a promise as he did. Without a resurrection, he can't make a promise like that. Dude, you're dead and gone, buried. You don't exist anymore. What? Do what? But if he rose from the dead, hey, that's a different story. He can make that promise. Without the resurrection, there will be no fulfilled prophecies in the Bible that are yet to be fulfilled, that are yet to happen. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there will be no fulfilled prophecies in the Bible that are yet to happen. What do I mean by that? There will be no rapture of the church. There will be no rapture of the church to meet the Lord in the clouds in the air. If he didn't resurrect it, he's just dead, and they stole his body away, then there's no rapture. There's no, we can't look forward to a rapture, but we do look forward to a rapture. And it's promised to us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Paul writes, but we do not want you uninformed, brethren, 1 Thessalonians 4:13, as those who are asleep, not even considered dead in God's eyes, that you may not grieve as do the rest of those who have no hope, those people who have died. For if we believe that Jesus died and what? Rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words. If the Lord didn't raise from the dead, we can't meet him in the air. Right? Can't rapture the church. But if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, then we can look forward to the fulfilled prophecy of the rapture. It is going to happen, as 1 Corinthians 15, 51-52 also say pretty much the same thing. Without the resurrection of Christ, there would be no second coming. There would be no second coming. There would be no, not only the rapture of the church, but there would be no literal Jesus coming as prophesied in the Bible, everywhere in the Old Testament, New Testament. There'd be no second coming. There would be no millennial reign of Christ on earth. No fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant, where Israel gets all the land. No fulfillment of the Davidic covenant, where a line of David will sit on the throne of David and rule the whole world. There would be no new covenant for ethnic remnant of Israel to finally enter into at the end of the tribulation. There will be no tribulation. All those passages in Ezekiel and Jeremiah and Genesis and the major prophets, the minor prophets of Zechariah, that when they see him, they've pierced and they mourn for him, his only son, and they receive a spirit of supplication. None of those prophecies can come true. You might as well just redact them out of your Bible. And there will be no reason to even read the book of Revelation, which is a book of prophecy yet to be fulfilled. But in the book of Revelation, in that very book, in the very first chapter, we read in verse 1, chapter 1, sorry, verse 8, Jesus is speaking, I am Alpha and Omega, says the Lord God. That's Jesus, he's talking. Who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I could read the rest of that, but let me skip down verse 17. And this is what John says. And when I saw him, that would be the resurrected, glorified Christ, I fell at his feet as a dead man, which is the only right response. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. I was dead, and I'm alive forevermore. And then he goes on and he tells John to write, verse 19, write therefore the things which you have seen and the things which are, the things which shall take place after this. This is prophecy. If the Lord had not risen from the dead, there would be no fulfilled prophecy. No sense in reading the book of Revelation. I would take the book of Revelation, rip it out of our Bible and throw it away. That the Lord did not raise. The resurrection of Jesus the Nazarene after his crucifixion and bodily burial, 3 days later, resurrection, is a key component to historical biblical Christianity. It's a key component to the true biblical complete gospel. It is the basis for the salvation of sinners and the promise of fulfilled prophecy of our coming Lord, as we just sang, when we shall see his face. If he didn't rise from the dead, we're never going to see his face. But we are going to see his face, and we can sing about it. I have tried to make the case, according to the scriptures, that we either celebrate this Sunday and every Sunday and every day for the truth of the resurrection, or we just ignore its historical fact, the truth of the gospel, salvation for any sinner, and the promises of God, and just leave and shut the doors and never come back again. One or the other is, we should do one or the other. If there's no resurrection, what are we doing here? We should just leave, shut the doors, and never come back again. But if we do believe in the resurrection, that historical Christianity is true, that the gospel we heard that we were saved by is true, and that our lives were transformed because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that we can look forward to his promised coming and rapture of the church, then we should come and we should celebrate this day. We will either live in light of the resurrection of Jesus of Nazarene and believe it like millions have over 2 millennia, proclaim it as gospel, see sinners saved, and look for our Lord's return, or live as if Jesus never was crucified, buried, and risen on the third day, like so many unbelievers do. And they don't believe that. These are key components of the resurrection. This is why we are here this morning. Is this why you're here this morning? Let me just give you some concluding thoughts. How else can you explain Christianity without the resurrection? I mean, those guys were in hiding. They were fearing for their lives. They thought the Romans were going to come and get to execute them too. And then all of a sudden, Jesus rises from the dead, and they just become bold as burglars and just go out and start telling everybody about Jesus. Didn't matter the cost. And it's been like that for over 2 millennia. What was the content of the gospel you heard? Did it include the resurrection? Did it accept Jesus as your personal Savior, praying to ask Jesus into your heart? Or was it you were a sinner in need of a Savior, and that God took upon himself your problem, made it his problem, and came to earth as a man and died on the cross for your sins, and showing you that he's God, he rose from the dead, victorious over death, hell, and the grave? I hope that's the gospel you heard, because that's the gospel you need to hear to be saved. Do you believe God raised Jesus from the dead? Do you really believe that in your heart? The proof's in the pudding. You'll either live like it or you won't. And lastly, are you looking forward to Jesus' return to this earth? I heard somebody tell me, I just bought a new boat. Jesus comes back, he's going to mess up everything. Are you really looking forward to Jesus' return or not? He can't come back soon enough for me. These are key questions all related to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Father, thank you so much for your holy word. May the power of your holy word stir the hearts of your people, give them more confidence, bolster their faith, and help them to rise up and be a testimony for our Savior, who does not know these truths that I have just proclaimed. Father, you're in the soul-saving business. You're in the sin-forgiving business. You're in the resurrection business. I pray if there's someone here in this auditorium that is not born again, is not saved, from a devil's hell, has not had all their sins forgiven. Father, I pray that by your grace and for your glory, the truths of the gospel will be accompanied by the power of the Holy Spirit, and you bring these truths past their head and into their heart and draw them to Christ for your glory and their good. What a better day to celebrate the resurrection than to see the resurrection take place in someone's life when they're brought from death to life and salvation. We love you, Lord. We thank you for this day. Please come back soon. Please, I pray, in Jesus' holy name. Amen.